B-Pod Studios.
Our good friend Adam Schefter. What's up, Schefty?
Hello there, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Great.
Not too bad, my man. Not too bad. I know the Ravens are coming to town and all that, but look, last week, Steelers fans were allowed to go into Heinz Field. Some Eagles fans made their way out there as well. This time around, in South Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field, as you reported yesterday, 7,500 people will be allowed to go to the stadium itself. It feels like this is becoming more and more like the old normal.
Well, slowly but surely, but also... not to be an alarmist or anything, incidents of the virus seem to be ticking up everywhere. So, yes, we're allowing 7,500 fans in, but you will also have at the same time, again, I think, concern that the virus could be rising. So, look, teams want fans. You know, the Saints were telling me yesterday that they said their exact phrase was, "It's louder at a funeral than it is at our games." That's what they told me. It's louder at a funeral than it is at our games.
Wow.
And that's why they're trying to move the games, their games, to Baton Rouge, because the city won't allow them any fans. So that's something that's going on, I think, across the, I think everybody wants some fans. I mean, the Cowboys have, it looked like, you know, 40, 50,000 fans on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so that is an advantage, right? And not only is there money involved, but there's just a certain energy that it brings to your team.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the Eagles get back 7,500 fans. I think, you know, I'd like to think that's a good thing. I do think that's probably a good thing, but at the same time, there's a part of me that also, you know, worries like, hey, 7,500 fans, that's a cluster, you know?
Right.
And so I hope the people that are going are being smart and wearing masks and staying distant and doing all the things that they need to be doing to try to stop the spread of the virus. I mean, honestly, my guess is if they're going, they don't really care. So just a guess, but we'll see. I hope they do the right thing.
One of the things I was encouraged in my own circle of friends, I knew a couple of people that drove out from Philly to go to Pittsburgh, and the one word that I did really appreciate hearing was responsibility. And it was almost like they owed it to every other fan base to make sure they were treating this and respecting the virus and acting responsible about it. Wearing the mask, being careful when they're in the bowels of the stadium, the concession stands, the restroom, whatever it might be, that they felt a sense of responsibility. And the reason I ask you about this isn't just for the obvious that fans are back in stadiums, but when it comes to how the NFL is handling this, how individual teams are handling this, is there any data that you're aware of where people are respecting this virus and being responsible while at these stadiums?
I don't think there's any data to that point, and it's not really the league that's making the decision.
Right.
It's the individual places, cities, towns that the stadiums are in. Like, the mayor of New Orleans has been fighting with the Saints for weeks now. I mean, they've been arguing. You know, Saints want fans. Mayor says no, can't have it. Indoor facility, not going to happen. And now it's to the point where the Saints are like, you know what, you don't want our business, we're leaving.
Mm.
Now, I don't know the legal ramifications and if they can just up and walk and finish the year in Tiger Stadium. I think many rules are sort of out the window in a pandemic. But I don't know if they've collected that. Look, I had Jim Cramer on my podcast yesterday, and I posted this morning, and in fact, the former Eagles linebacker, who still works with the team now, Connor Barwin, suffered the same injury as Dak, and he came on. We talked a lot about that. But Cramer was saying to me that, and I'd love to think he's right. I'm skeptical that he is here, but he was telling me that he thinks that the Super Bowl is going to be a full stadium, that they're going to have testing for all fans who go in. Like you can't go unless you're tested, but that the stadium would be filled with fans, full crowd, full capacity, but everybody will have had to have passed a test. And he's hoping, I think there's a couple of companies he mentioned on the podcast that could make it such that there would be instant testing at the door, and you're tested and then you're allowed in. Now, again, it's October, what is it, 14th today?
Yes.
November, December, January. So we're talking about 3.5 months away. Who knows what's going to happen in 3.5 months, right?
Adam, I'll say this. I'll repeat the phrase I probably said more over the last 6 months than I ever had in my entire life combined.
Yeah.
Here's hoping. You know what I mean? Here's hoping we get to that point. But the more so, and when I talk about data, obviously the... I'm trying to think of a proper way to put this, but obviously what would prevent any stadium from allowing any fans from any point on would be, oh, this group of people got COVID at an NFL game. There's been no link to an outbreak at an NFL game or anything like that other than what happened with the Tennessee Titans, correct?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. Not that I'm aware of. Now, there was a fan, I believe, at the first Chiefs game who had it.
Yeah.
Chiefs-Texans game. I don't know whether that spread, didn't spread. I'm unaware. I would think if there were a cluster of fans, 5,000 fans at a game this year in Miami or Jacksonville, whatever it was, we would have heard if there was an outbreak from that. I think. Maybe not.
I agree.
Shefty, are you talking to GMs throughout the league, coaches, players, all the people that you talk to, do you get the feeling that they're satisfied with the way the NFL has handled what has happened? I get, like, this was kind of expected, and it seems like they're doing good with throwing games around and doing what they have to do. Is the people you talk to, are they satisfied?
It's a good question, Bob. What I would say is this, the people that I've spoken to, and I think this applies really to everybody in every walk of life. Life is pretty hard as it is, right? And so you take life, or a football season, which is hard, and then you introduce all these other factors, the regular testing, the Saints getting to Detroit with a false positive and having to rush their guys into testing, getting woken up that next morning at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. on a game day to get tested. There are a lot of new hurdles, obstacles, challenges that every single team is going through. From a reporter standpoint, okay, I don't ever remember having a Sunday where we've got breaking news all Sunday morning with positive tests, facilities shutting down, schedules being juggled. Like, that doesn't happen ever on an NFL Sunday. I've had that, I think, 3 of the past 4 Sundays.
Yeah.
And so what it's done is, in my mind, it's introduced a much higher degree of stress. It's introduced more chaos and uncertainty. It has, I think, it just feels different. Like, things are just not the same. So is that the integrity of the game? Like, that sounds like such a sacrilegious, you know, statement. So I don't know that I want to say that, but it just, like, the Titans can play last night without practicing for 2 weeks and they play well. And then coaches are putting together game plans and you're missing players. And it's just not functioning the way that people are used to, nor did anybody think it would. So I think Tom Telesco, the Chargers GM, said it well this past week. He's like, if you're the person who is unwilling to adapt and adjust and change and be flexible, then this year is not for you. And everybody, like, I'm a creature of habit. I love routine. I've been going to Bristol every Sunday morning, leaving my house 5:30 a.m. I could tell you, you could say, what are you doing 6:11 on a Sunday morning? Well, usually I'm on I-95. I'm listening to the radio. I'm thinking about the pregame show. I get to Bristol 7:30. I'm sitting with more 7:35. Our meeting starts at 8. Like, I could tell you minute by minute. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what the hell is going on. Like, I'm in my house. I got the dogs barking. I got to get my daughter breakfast while I'm running in to go do the pregame. Like, I never could have imagined being home on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And now I'm home on a Sunday. Awesome. Right? So that's me. But everybody, like Eagles fans that are used to going to games and attending in a certain way, they're not doing it that way. And the team itself is not used to what is going on. I mean, everybody's going through it in their own way, including teams and people who play the game and watch the game and are involved in the game.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Schefter, the other thing is Roger Goodell addressed reporters yesterday on a conference call, talked about a possibility of an 18th week. The bubble doesn't look tangible from what I understand. And talking about ratings of the NFL and all that. What do you take away from commissioner's comments?
Honestly, I don't take away very much. I take away exactly what I thought, which is that they are adjusting right now. They are doing the best job they can. They're not ruling out a bubble. They're not ruling out a week 18, but they're not going there right now. Mm-hmm. They're not doing that until they have to. Yeah. They have rearranged the schedule. They have adjusted. They've postponed some games. They rescheduled 8 others this Sunday. They'll continue to make it up as they go along, as they have to. And then if they need, after we get through buys, boy, we're stuck here. There, these four teams didn't get to play these two games. Let's add on an 18th week. Or they just say forfeits and let's revise the playoff formula and it's one loss as opposed to number of wins. And so they don't know the answer. We don't know the answer. They're adjusting as they go along.
Fluid situation.
And they're only going to go to those scenarios, in my mind, if and when they have to.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN, the other report that came out yesterday, Le'Veon Bell being released by the Jets. We've talked a lot about the Eagles not being as aggressive as they've been in years past. What do you think ends up happening with Le'Veon Bell? And do you think the Eagles will at least kick the tires there?
Yeah, I would think they would kick the tires. The money is not going to be very high for him. The Jets already have paid him, are paying him. I think that there will be multiple teams that are interested in kicking the tires. And it's really going to be a situation where he gets to choose what he wants to. I think what's going to happen here just is that he went through the situation and played for the Jets the last two seasons. It was nothing but misery and heartache. So I think now, when the money is going to be relatively similar all over, he truly is going to play for the love of the game in a place that is going to win. So whether that's New England or Seattle or you pick a winning place, right? I don't know if Philadelphia fits his criteria.
Well, come on, a 1-3-1 team, Adam. Come on.
Well,
half a game out of first place.
Half a game out of first place, and the team that's in first place doesn't have its starting quarterback for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Shefty, right? How much does that hurt them?
Well, it hurts. First of all, from a personal standpoint, it hurts because that guy is so beloved and respected by everybody in that organization, in that city. I mean, he's very, very popular. And so it's just a blow, and it's deflating right there. Now, if we're just going to talk from a football standpoint, to me, it's a drop-off. But I will say this. Andy Dalton, I think, is better than people realize.
Especially with those weapons.
Yeah, that's why I asked the question, because of those weapons.
Well, you may laugh, but I'm just telling you, I've spoken to some quarterback-needy teams during the offseason, and the guy's name who always came up was Andy Dalton. Like all the GMs, and they like him as a quarterback. I'm just telling you, they like him.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling you he's going to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
But I'm just telling you that the drop-off, there's a drop-off. But Andy Dalton is good enough to help take them to the playoffs and win. Mm-hmm. He is.
Any update on, do you have any info on Lane Johnson? He says he's going to be fighting through that injury.
Push through. Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. I don't know whether he'll be playing this Sunday. I have not gotten specifics of that. But, look, how many players there are that just have to fight through and play with something all year long?
Sure.
Like, it just goes on. Like, all of a sudden the season, and then four guys on this team had surgery and three guys on that team had surgery, and you find out this guy played with this or that. I mean, that's football. Mm-hmm. That's football.
Adam, last thing for you, man. We always like to try to throw in something just for fun here. In honor of LeBron James's daughter being gifted a backyard house for, I believe, her 6th birthday.
A backyard what?
A backyard house.
House.
It was like a replica of their main house.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. He built her a little house.
I would say this. It's better, more high quality than like a backyard clubhouse. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
All right. What's the best gift you have ever gotten? Like a purchase gift. I'm sure you love your family, but I'm just saying, the best gift you ever got.
Well, when you told me that story, before I answer that question, I immediately thought of the fact that it had to be probably 5 years ago, at least, I would guess, although you could Google it. If you Google Adam Schefter Coke commercial, and what happened was, the day before, what happened was, I got a call like on a Thursday that Coke wanted to shoot a commercial in 24 hours with me and my. I'm like, what? Well, what are you thinking? I don't know. And again, I'll never forget it because they literally, I didn't know anything about it. They showed up at my house at 6:30 a.m. on a Saturday. It was the Saturday before Christmas, and the idea was they were going to build a. We're talking about what to do for the commercial. I said, well, she's in the Nutcracker today. And they said, well, let's build her a Nutcracker princess castle in the backyard. I'm like, okay, because I'm not handy in any way, shape, or form. And so I didn't know what that meant, but they showed up at 6:30. It was like a crew of like five or six people. They built like this little castle. We had to surprise her. We had my mother take her out to breakfast. We got the house up. And then literally, like, without discussing it or talking about it, we sat down. She walked in the house, and I surprised her with the house in the backyard. It literally came together that morning. There was zero rehearsals. There was no reshoot. It was done in one take. And she walked out, and they filmed the commercial. I'm just telling you, Google Adam Schefter Coke commercial.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I'm watching it now, too.
Magnificent.
They did a great job with it. It was unbelievable.
And you're sipping a Coke together. Life.
Yeah. It was, and they built like this little house, this little castle in the backyard, and it was really cool. So when you said LeBron built this house, that's the first thing I thought of in the backyard. I'm not capable financially, physically, or mentally to build a house, but I am capable of having the Coke people come and construct like a little playhouse on a Saturday morning right before Christmas.
Well, you know what? As your daughter will remember it, LeBron's kid got a house. She got a castle.
That's right.
That, huh?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go ahead and assume that the swing set in the back, you didn't put that together?
No.
Yeah. That's all right, Shefty. That's what I use my phone for also. Have Shefty, people do it.
Shefty.
That's how it goes.
Always good catching up with you, man. Thanks so much. Just for the record, you would say unlikely Eagles, Le'Veon Bell?
I'm not saying anything because I don't know. I don't have an answer.
All right, I'll take it.
I would say it's likely they'll kick the tires, and I need more information before I can make a declaration that...
My man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.